Psalm 121, verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121, 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121, verse 7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. We pray together before we begin our study. Today, Father, we are thankful, so very thankful for your matchless love and grace to all of us. We're the recipients of that grace every single day, and we thank you so much for it. When we think in terms of what you have done and are doing for us over these past years, we realize our unworthiness, and we realize your greatness, and we bow to express our deep thanks for the way that you've taken care of us and blessed us each and every one. You've made it possible for us to be here today. We're here because of your grace. We're here because we desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. We're thankful that you've given us this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We have the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have so many blessings in life, and we express our deep thanks for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin today by putting on the screen some words that you already know, even before we begin to look at our scripture this morning. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. I'm going to leave this here in case you missed it in the past sessions. We have three words that we have presented to you for the subject of evil. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. The three words are kaikos, poneros, and phalos. All of you by now should have those three words implanted in your thinking. Evil, kaikos, K-A-K-O-S, which emphasizes opposition to the goodness of the character of the members of the Godhead. Kaikos is the word opposed to goodness of character of the members of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Kaikos. If you don't have that one down, please put it down. These three words are very, very powerful. The second word is the word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And it is the word which means opposition to divine viewpoint. Evil is opposition to divine viewpoint, poneros. The third word that you see on the screen is the word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. This word means opposition to divine good. These three words are powerful words, words that you need to get into your thinking. It won't hurt you to have this in mind. And when we're studying the scripture, you're going to ask yourself the question, as you look at the verse that we put on the screen, do I have there the word kaikos? Do I find the word poneros? Do I see the word phalos? It's very important for you to have that. The reason I'm emphasizing this again now is because in a few moments we're going to be looking at a verse of Scripture, and I want you to find it for yourself to see which one of these three words is used. Will it be kaikos? Will it be poneros? Or will it be phalos? We're dealing with the subject today, satanic entanglement. Satanic entanglement. In Ephesians 6:13, which says, therefore take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You're going to see that verse now. A translation. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, in order that you may be able to resist in the evil day, And having done all, just stand. You have an insert in your bulletin today that gives you these verses. You have Ephesians 6:13 in the original text. We're looking at it now. You're looking at it. If you can't see it from where you're sitting, you can look in your bulletin at the insert and find the Greek of Ephesians 6:13. Dia tutu. Dia tutu. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The word take there is the Greek word analambano. Lambano is the word which means to take. Ana, which is a prefix or a preposition. Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God. Notice how that word take is used. You'll see immediately that it is the aorist active imperative verb. Aorist tense at a point of time. Active voice, each believer has the responsibility of doing it. The imperative is the mood of command. We're told by a way of a command to take the whole armor of God. Also, you will notice that we have hina, H-I-N-A, which emphasizes a result clause. In order that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Now, I've already mentioned it to you so that you can find for yourself which one of these three words. We're looking at it now. In order that you may be able, we'll study those words in a moment, to resist. We'll study that in a moment. In the evil day, here's the word right here. Most of you are able to see what it is. It is not kakos. It is not phalos. It is the word poneros. So there you have it. P-O-N-E-R-A, which is from the root word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Would you like to look at it again just for the sake of seeing it? I think I have it here for you. What did I do with it? It's always fun for me to find where I put things. It is now on the screen again. Evil, kakos, K-A-K-O-S, opposition to the goodness and character of God. Evil, poneros, the word is used in our verse, opposition to the divine viewpoint. We either have divine viewpoint, or we have satanic viewpoint. We see things from a vertical viewpoint as God sees it because of our saturation of the thinking of Jesus Christ. Or if we don't have that thinking, we're going to be looking at things from a horizontal human viewpoint. So here's a word, poneros, which is the word which means opposition to divine viewpoint. Keep that in mind, please, as we move along in our study. Now back to the verse. Therefore, take unto yourselves, imperative verb, the whole armor of God, in order that, hina clause, in order that you may be able, let's look at the word able, it is aorist passive subjunctive verb, which is the word dunamai. Dunamai has an O-M-A-I ending, deponent verb. We see here that it is a verb in the subjunctive mood. What does that mean? It means we may or may not do it. We may or may not have the ability, the dunamis, the dynamite, the power. Please notice, how do we get it? Do we get it by what we are doing? No. We get it by what we receive. That's the reason why it's a passive voice. Why does a preacher get so excited about these verbs? Because of the fact that they mean what they mean. And you and I want to know what they mean. We're not interested in what people think about it. We're not even interested in what I may think about it. We're interested in what does the Word of God say? What does this word mean? That's the reason why I study the way I do. That's the reason why I love you the way I do. Is because I want you and me to be able to see what does God say here? Not what do I think. Not what do you think. We're not interested in that. We're interested in what does God say? The passive voice says, the subject may or may not be the recipient of the ability, the strength to resist. Can I just stop and smile at you for a moment to let you see how fantastic this is? But look at it. Subjunctive verb. Have the ability to do what? To resist. But notice what that is. It's an aorist active infinitive. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. So, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Get God's thinking into your thinking so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Are we living in the evil day? In the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Now, we have two more verbs here. These are beautiful verbs. One of them is the word having done all, and then we have the word to stand. Look at that word right there, having done. Aorist middle participle, kata ergazomai. The word I'm looking at it in my own thinking, ergon, is the word for work. And the prefix there is kata, is getting it, working it up, getting it down, understanding it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And having done all, getting it together, understanding it, comprehending it, middle voice, you'll be benefited by doing that. Oh, how fantastic this is. And then it says, having done all, histomi, which is the word for stand, aorist active infinitive, a desire to stand. Okay, so much for that. We're dealing with a magnificent passage of Scripture. We looked at verse 11 in the first session today. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the the mythology of the devil. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to resist in the Poneros, the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Satanic entanglement. What we have to understand is that we're living in a day where it appears that evil is gaining ground. Evil is gaining ground. I am thankful for the believers in the United States of America. I am thankful for the perceptive believers in the United States of America. You and I need to pray that there will be more and more perceptive believers in the United States of America. If you'll notice, it says, this is so fantastic, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Satanic entanglement. Number one. 10 points, we'll do them quite rapidly. Stay with me, please. Evil originated in angelic creation, in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God. Now, when I read that statement, I trust that in your mind, you have the ability, from a biblical standpoint, to see how a magnificent angel became Satan. I trust that all of you have enough biblical background and you understand what I mean by this statement. Evil originated in angelic creation, in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God. Now, in the next few weeks, we want to get into the subject of Satan, the history. And I think that we all need to rehearse this, because it's something we have to understand and comprehend to be able to understand satanic thinking, to understand the difference between sin and evil. We've got to go back and get the history and understand what the meaning is of this, number one. But I don't want to do that now. Let's go on. Let me repeat it and then go to number two. Evil originated in angelic history, in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God. Number two, evil originated and existed before human history. Now I want you to see that. Think about it. Evil originated and existed before human history. Number three, the origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. Anytime we get on Satan's side, we're on the side that opposes God's side. Does that make sense? The origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. That's the reason why we talk about the divine system and we talk about the satanic system. Here we see it. The origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. You and I, when we understand some things about Satan, we ought to be mad at him. We ought to be upset with him. We ought to be displeased with the fact that he tries to get us to go in the wrong direction on a moment by moment, day by day basis. We ought to get mad and stay mad at satanic thinking. Because the origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. All you have to do is go back to Adam and Eve. All you have to do is travel through the books of the Old Testament. All you have to do is go into the books of the New Testament. You'll find yourself over and over seeing how Satan, along the way, has tried to shoot the daggers at the coming of Jesus Christ. All the way from the beginning, Satan wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ. And Satan is doing his dead level best to get even believers today to go along with his satanic thinking. And if we're not careful, we're going to do it. Number four, there is a system of thinking that you and I have chosen to call the cosmic system or the satanic system. There's a system of thinking, cosmic system, and Satan controls many Christians through that system. I just need to stop here and let you think about that. When you and I get out of fellowship, when you and I let God's plan be dismissed from our lives on a moment-by-moment basis, and we're under satanic thinking, it is then that we are under the control of satanic thinking. There's a cosmic system, and Satan controls many believers through that system. Number five, Satan's plans always look good to the spiritually illiterate. I don't want to be ugly, but I want to be frank. The people who do not grow in God's grace, the people who do not study God's word on a day-by-day basis, people who are not concerned about having the mind of Jesus Christ, they are willingly determined to be destroyed in some way. I'm trying to find a word that would say it. I'm not talking about destruction of your salvation, but destruction of your life and mine under satanic thinking. And when we go that way, we're going the way of downfall. There's a cosmic system, and Satan controls many believers through that system. And Satan's plans always look good to the spiritually illiterate. Am I giving you enough time to copy this? This is something that I should go over and over again and again and again. Number six, evil, satanic thinking, can only be destroyed by us choosing to function inside of God's plan. Let's look at that. Evil, satanic thinking, can only be destroyed, and I'm not talking about total destruction here, but pushed aside by functioning inside the plan of God. So very, very important. Number seven, evil attempts to produce a human panacea to solve world problems. You and I, when we watch television, we listen to the radio, we read the newspapers, we ought to be able to have enough spiritual fuel in our souls to see the difference between what is God's plan and what is satanic plan, what is the satanic plan. Evil attempts to produce a human panacea to solve world problems. This is a distortion of God's word. Margaret Thatcher, former Prime Minister of Great Britain, said, look at this, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Did you notice that? Evil attempts to produce a human panacea to solve world problems. This is the distortion of God's word. Again, Margaret Thatcher said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Number eight, I only have 10 points, so you better hold on. Evil produces erroneous concepts of brotherly love. The whole idea of government trying to abolish sickness, mental illness, economic problems, frustration, and human problems by legislation and human solutions is singular evil. I need to just stop and let you listen to those words again. Evil produces erroneous concepts of brotherly love. The whole idea of government trying to abolish sickness, mental illness, economic problems, frustration, human problems by legislation and human solutions is evil. Evil, evil, evil. Have I given you enough time to take it down? Two more points. Nine. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers, and an understanding and application of the laws of divine establishment. We probably need to rehearse again those laws of divine establishment. There's an emphasis upon volition. There's an emphasis upon marriage. There's an emphasis upon family life. There's an emphasis upon nationality, nation. We have an emphasis then. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers and an understanding and application of the laws of divine establishment. Choice, volition, marriage, family, nationalism. Number 10, and the last one. This is so important. All of us desire to have inner happiness. Inner happiness and evil cannot coexist. In other words, if we're saturated with satanic thinking, we're not going to have true joy, peace, contentment, and happiness. Please, my friends, people whom I love so dearly, you and I must see it. We cannot go the way of satanic thinking and have happiness in life. You and I have to make a decision each and every day whether we're going to go God's way or we're going to go Satan's way, whether we're going to have God's thinking or satanic thinking, whether we're going to be doing what God wants us to do or being under the control of our sinful nature and also many times under satanic thinking. Inner happiness and evil cannot coexist. Satan desires that we as believers drop our guard and go negative to God and His Word. I'm going slowly. I know that. It's just not been my nature through the years to go slowly. I just want to go rapidly. But I'm trying to tell you that these are important, important thoughts. Satan desires that we, as believers, drop our guard and go negative to God and to the Word of God. Proverbs 1:33 says, "He who listens to me shall live in security." I like that, don't you? "He who listens to me," God says, "shall live in security and shall be at ease without fear of evil." We're dealing with the subject of evil. Proverbs 1:33. I'm going to say it three times. Proverbs 1:33. I'm going to say it now the third time. I'm going to say it the third time. Proverbs 1:33. Get my words all straight. When I do this, you laugh at me and then you get the message. After all that laughing gas is over, you're going to get the message. "He who listens to me," God says, "shall live in security, peace, contentment, and shall be at ease without fear of evil." Satanic thinking. I'll do it again. Proverbs 1:33. That's the fourth time. I said it four times. Did you see the difference between time and times? I have to have a little fun along the way. One more verse before we go. Proverbs 16:6. Proverbs 16:6. "By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil." By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Where is it found? Proverbs 16:6. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to focus our attention upon your word. There are so many things here for us to learn. We realize that each person in this room today, in this auditorium, each person who hears my voice, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have the responsibility of getting ourselves away from satanic thinking. And the only way we can do that is to think God's thoughts and obey the scripture that says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." For the individual today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they could do that right now. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." That tells us that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust you, even now. And we thank you over and over again for the way you love us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our deacons will be reminded to meet right now. Thank you.